We pray, Lord, for your blessing over this service. We pray for the visitation of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to break down your word, Lord, that we may comprehend and see revelation and truth that will bring transformation to our lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. And you may be seated, please. Amen. We need a choir in this church. What do you think? How many agree with me that we need a choir? Yeah. After praise and worship. Oh, wow. Trey, you're here. It's good to see you. Amen. Wow. You know, after praise and worship, we need some people to warm our hearts with some good music before the preaching of the word. What do you think? What do you think? See, when you go to a proper restaurant like this one, you need an appetizer before the main meal. What do you think? Yeah, but when you buy food from the roadside, you don't need appetizer. You go straight to the main thing. Hallelujah. But this is a proper, high-class, top restaurant that the Lord is providing meals for his people. Amen. And members who didn't come last week are here. Amen. So today I'm going to be speaking French and English. Bon? Oui. Right. Those of you who don't understand French, when I say bon, you say oui. Okay, so Magdalene and co, just take note of that. All right. Hallelujah. Now, today I want to begin to share with you and enter a season of blessing. Amen. I'm going to share with you some very important. Amen. My heart always yearns to see you people blessed. Amen. I want to see the blessing of God come upon your lives and upon every area of your lives. Hallelujah. Because as a pastor, I interact with you. And I know many of you. And I know how you could use the blessing of God. That if only God will bless you with sin. Sometimes I feel like I wish I could just help, you know, in any way possible. But I realize the Lord ministers to me and tells me that there is no amount of help that I can give to any of you that can compare with the help that you will get if he blesses you. Are you following what I'm saying? And so I realize more and more that it's not really anything that I need to do, but rather I need to teach. Okay. Amen. So I need to teach more and more and more about how to be blessed. And the more you understand how to be blessed and what it takes to be blessed, then the blessing of God will begin to come upon your life. Hallelujah. And as the blessing of God comes upon your life, it will dig you out of every difficulty. It will dig you out of every situation, every unfortunate circumstance, even the effects of bad decisions that you have made yourself, do you understand, can be neutralized. The effect of those decisions can be neutralized by the blessing of God. Amen. When God's blessing is upon someone, the blessing is so heavy that it offsets the effect of curses and offsets the effect of negative choices. It offsets the effect of so many things that otherwise would plague our lives. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to be sharing with you. I'm going to share with you today and next Sunday and a couple more Sundays. I will be staying on this subject. Amen. And I want you to come and be blessed and travel through it with me, because I believe that by the end of the series, your lives will not be the same. Amen. Your lives will not be the same. You must always do yourself a favor of exposing yourself to the Word of God. Amen. As you expose yourself to the Word of God, you expose yourself to God. Remember, two Sundays ago, we were sharing a verse, John chapter 1 and verse 1. It said that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So exposure to the Word is exposure to God. Hallelujah. Exposure to the Word is exposure to God. And the more you interact with God, the more He affects your life and changes your life. He transforms you. Amen. See, you can't put something on fire and the thing will refuse to change. Can you imagine you put some potatoes on your stove and then you light up the fire under it? You know, the potatoes cannot refuse to change, because it has met something that is greater than the potato itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, and whether it likes it or not, as long as it remains on that fire, it will undergo a certain transformation. It may not occur in the first 2 minutes, and it may not occur sometimes even in 5 minutes. It may not occur perhaps even in 10 minutes, but you just give it sufficient time in interacting with the fire, and before you know it, it begins to yield to the fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So your life will begin to yield to God and His influence over it as you continue to expose your life to the Word of God. Amen. As you continue to expose your life to the Word of God, you see, and His blessings will begin to come upon you. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you've been living a certain way for a long time, you need to start living a different way for long enough to begin to experience the effects of the change. Do you understand? See, if you're headed the wrong direction for a long time, even after you make a U-turn, you need to travel back for a while before you get to the right place. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you were supposed to get off at exit 19 and you travel down and get off at exit 7, after you get off at exit 7, you will not take one step and get to 19. You're going to have to come back 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and you can even be discouraged because you made a U-turn, but you are still not at 19. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you don't have to be discouraged. You just have to stay on the road. You are headed the right direction. You just haven't traveled the right direction long enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I believe that God wants to reset your life, and God wants to give you that opportunity to come back to Him and give you that opportunity to experience what He truly has for you as His child. I want you to understand today that God intends for you to have abundant life. God wants you to live and enjoy life. Can I have an amen? God wants you, He wants to influence the life that you live here on a day-to-day basis. God wants to have a say in it. He wants His hand to show up in that life. But you need to learn the principles that invoke and that bring His presence into your life. Can I have an amen? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Au commencement, était Allah. Était la parole, parole, et la parole était avec Dieu, et la parole était Dieu. That means la parole was God, isn't it? Oui, Say we. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So I'm going to be sharing. Can you bring me one of those books at the back, please? I'm going to be sharing with you this very important message. I'm going to show you one of the main keys that will invoke the blessing of God upon your life. Hallelujah. And I want to recommend this book because I'll be teaching from it. Why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. Amen. So here is a book. I want all of you to have one because I'm just going to be sharing from it. And I'm praying that you will really connect with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, God is trying to get something to you. Tell them, God is not trying to take something from you. Hallelujah. See, sometimes I watch TV in the night. And then I see, I don't know if you've watched TV in the night, but there are a lot of people who come and offer a lot of money on TV. But I don't know why they do it in the night. Because most people are asleep at that time. But you have a lot of people who come and say that they have found certain keys. Do you understand? And then they begin to talk about the keys and so on. And they will talk around it, but never actually give you the key. Then after a while of talking and bringing people to testify that they got hold of those keys and their lives have changed. The other one I saw, the guy was, he had parked a very nice convertible there and then a boat, you know. And then he had also put another something there, I think one of these toys. And, you know, he had it all there and he was trying to suggest that if you follow the keys that this guy is offering. So I was just thinking the other day, but this guy, he's got the keys and according to him, he's got so much wealth. Why is he still selling the keys? Do you understand what I'm saying? That if he really so desperately wanted to help us, why is he selling the keys? Why is it that he is not offering us the keys? Just tell us what the keys are so we come and practice them. See, and experience what you're experiencing, then we know that you're really helping us. But then you realize that actually the key itself is the offering of the key. Do you understand what I'm saying? What the real key that he has found is the key of offering the key for sale. So as you're buying the key, that's how he is becoming rich. And not that the key itself is making him rich. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So his wealth is actually coming from the number of people who are buying the keys to wealth. And not that he actually has a key that opens the door to any wealth. Hallelujah. But anyway, I believe that all those things are is somewhat counterfeit of what God actually is offering to his people. Can I have an amen? Amen. I believe that God has put in his word many keys and many blessings that if we were to discover and follow, they would lead to a blessing in our lives. Hallelujah. And of course, it's not just one thing. There's no one thing that you can just touch, and when you touch it, it brings magic wealth into your life. But at least this method or this thing I'm teaching you is a method or a way that God has provided, that God has blessed, and that has been proven. And I can testify with my own life that as I have practiced and walked these principles and walked on this road, it has only led to blessing in my own life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I have not diminished. I have rather been blessed. Can I have an amen? And so I really want to teach these things with you with a burden, because I want to see you be your life transformed. Can I have an amen? I want to see your lives transformed. I'm not going to charge you anything for any keys. I just want to show you the real way to be blessed in this life. Because life takes a blessing. There is more to life than hard work. Are you following what I'm saying? There's more to life than just working hard. You need to work hard, plus you need to be blessed. Are you following what I'm saying? And when you are blessed, it takes you forward. Let me just show you a verse. We can begin from that. Let's begin from Genesis about Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. Let's begin from the book of Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter number 26. Let me open it. Genesis chapter 26. I know my iPad now takes a long time to open, for someone in it. Do you know the problem? Okay, verse 1. It says there was famine in the land. Genesis chapter 26. Let me get to it finally. Genesis. All right. All right. Have you found Genesis chapter 26, verse 1? It says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen, please. Amen. So here, the Lord was, there was famine in the land, there was difficulty. That means that the economy was not good. Do you understand? You know, the economy, when there's famine, it means that things are not sound economically. It means jobs are hard to find. It means even when people work, they are not paid enough. It means bills stack up. It means so many things go on. Do you understand? So that was the condition under which Isaac was living. And the Bible says there was farming in the land. And so Isaac began to plan to migrate. He was going to just move his family and relocate to another country. In fact, and in those days, the popular place to travel to was Egypt. Amen. That was where all the prosperity was. So if you lived in a small town, small village, small country somewhere, you just try to make your way to Egypt and try and find a visa, you know, to go to Egypt. I'm sure there were a lot of connection people who were doing business, you know. They would charge you three cows to take you to Egypt. You know, if you bring a camel, I'll just make some connection for you, and then you'll be in Egypt, you know. So that was the main thing. And so Isaac also, he planned that he was also going to get away and go to Egypt, you know. Then the Lord appeared to him and said to him, don't go to Egypt. You just stay where I've told you to stay, and you will be blessed. Because the blessing is not by where you live. Can I have an amen? Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? If you understand what I'm saying, wave your hand if you understand me. Yeah. That blessing is not by where you live. Hallelujah. Blessing is by doing what God has told you to do. Can I have an amen? It's by obeying God and obeying His principles and doing what He has told you to do. And as you do what God has told you to do, you will find eventually, no matter how long it takes, you will find that eventually you jump forward. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You jump forward and you leap forward and your life seems to advance and you do well because the Lord is with you. Can I have an amen? So what happened? It says, sojourn in this land and I'll give you all these countries and so on and so forth. And so when you read on up to, let's read from verse 10. Let's say, go to verse 10 and let's see what is there. Verse 10. It says, and Abimelech said, what is this? Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Do you see? The land where God told him not to leave. He stayed there and then he did business there. He worked there. He invested in the land. He sowed in the land. In those days, they didn't have jobs like worked in the bank and so on and so forth. So he was a farmer and he was trying, because of the farming, he was not going to invest or do anything in that place. But God said, you just do it there. And so he decided to stay there and do his practice and do his work in that place. Do you understand? Now, you may not have a farm and you may work a different type of job. Do you understand? But like Isaac, as you continue to do what you are doing, if the blessing is upon you, look at this. It says that the Lord Isaac sowed in that land and he received the same year 100-fold. You okay? And the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him. That is the reason for Isaac's success in the place. And so when you read the next verse, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, then Isaac, he says, the man became great. Look at it. And the man waxed great. And he went forward. Say, went forward. Say, went forward. Say, he went forward. How many of you want to go forward? Raise up your hand. Let me see. Raise up your hand. I want to see it clearly. No lies. It's Sunday morning, please. You lie in the afternoon, but not on Sunday morning. Okay. Raise up your hand if you truly have a desire in your heart to go forward. Raise up your hand. Yeah, so it means Isaac, this guy here has something you want. Is it not the truth? So if you see someone who has found and has got what you want, you need to find what he did to get what he got. Isn't it? So that if you will also do the same, then you will also have what he got. And the Bible says he went forward because the Lord blessed him. Can I have an amen? Amen? Read verse 12 again. Okay, verse 12 says that, and Isaac sowed in that land. Yeah, Isaac sowed in that land. And what happened? And he received, Pastor Melinda, where's verse 12, please? Verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land, and he received in that same year 100 times what he invested. Isn't it? He received in, this is the land that everybody was leaving. Everybody was moving out of town. Everybody was leaving the country. Everyone thought, you know, there's nothing here. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was a place where people did not see any prosperity. People did not see any opportunity for advancement. People did not see any opportunities for moving forward. People did not see any breakthroughs. There were no jobs. People didn't have anything and everybody was just moving out of town. You get it? The only business that was thriving in those days was the connection man who takes people to Egypt. You know, that the guy who takes three cows and then he will organize a visa for you to get into Egypt. But apart from that business, nothing else was working. But here is somebody who heard the voice of God about that place and he did what God told him. And the Bible says the Lord blessed him. See, this is what you need. You need God to bless you. You don't need a tip. You don't need a handout. You don't need someone to connect you. What you need is God's blessing upon your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, what you need is God's blessing upon your life. And when God's blessing comes upon your life, it will not matter where you live. It will not matter what your circumstances are. It will not matter whether you're an immigrant or you are not an immigrant. It will not matter where you are coming from. God will lift you up and bless you right where you are. In the midst of strange circumstances, in the midst of a season where not much is happening, the Bible says the man works great. Verse 13, it says that the man works great and went, Pastor Melinda, verse 13, it says the man was great and he went forward. Can you see that? He went forward and he grew until he became very great. Can I have an amen? Huh? Say home. Setom, divine rich. What does that mean? He became rich. Divine rich. E-il-la-ala. What is this word here? Sanrichan. Sanrichisan. What does that mean? Enrichment. The plus and plus. Well, this one I can see it clear. It's plus and plus. It means that more things were added to him. Is it not the case? Yeah, and he was getting blessings over and over again, isn't it? And then what about this one? Who? What is Yuska? Yuska's kill devant for rich. What does that mean? He progressed and progressed and progressed and progressed. You see, but my favorite expression here is the plus and plus. That's the one I recognize and that's the one I want. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I'm praying that your life will be described like that. That we can take your life and say, in spite of the depressed economy, and in spite of what is going on around you, your life can fit this description, the plus and plus. Yeah. Because you need the plus. Can I have an amen? Amen? And it is only God who can plus you and plus you and add the pluses to your life. Can I have an amen? Oh, what a blessing. I really wish you people can believe the things. Hallelujah. Now, one of the ways that God has promised to bless his people is through this thing called tithe. Hallelujah. And I know that a lot of people do not believe it. Do you understand? They do not believe it. People find it easier to stake lotto. Yeah, to buy a lottery ticket is a lot easier for people than to believe that if you pay your tithe, it will lead to blessings in your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Yeah, people find it much easier to just buy a lottery ticket or to sit up late at night and listen to the guy offering the keys. Do you understand? Yeah. Because we do not want to believe God and to take up what he has said and the method that God has put in place for being blessed. Hallelujah. Now, these people, this man that we're reading about, came from a family of tithers. In his family, they paid tithe. They recognized that a portion of everything they got belonged to God. Do you understand? It belonged to God. And they recognized that giving God's portion to him was very important. And as they practiced it, it led to the blessings and all the blessings that God has promised. When you see Jews today, it's one of the things that Jews believe seriously. And Jews are very serious people. In fact, there's a website where we sometimes buy equipment for our churches all across the country. And you'll be surprised that when you go, because the company is owned by Jewish people, when you go to their website on Sunday, on Friday afternoon, you can't buy anything. Yeah. You can't buy anything. He's not selling it to you as in himself. He has come to organize the thing, because if he opened the shop, then you would say that he's breaking the Sabbath. But he could transfer it to the internet. Do you understand? And let a machine do it. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you shouldn't let machines work on the Sabbath. Are you following what I'm saying? So he can be lying in his house and he would be saying that, he's observing the Sabbath. But I tell you that these Jews are so serious about the commandments of God. Do you understand? This country is really carried by Jews. The wealthiest people in this country are Jews. Yeah. They own the city of New York. Yeah, you go to New York and anything that is serious going on there, whether it's a law firm or a bank or whatever, has a Jewish man handling it. And these are people who take God's word literally and they take God seriously. I tell you. And I'm telling you, this company I'm talking about, on Friday afternoon, from about 3 o'clock, they'll just put a red banner on the website. You can come there and browse the things, but you can't buy it. They will not sell it to you. And you can, even when you pick the thing, it won't go in the cart. It won't, you can't select anything and put in the cart. Do you know of any company that doesn't do that? Do you know of anybody? When people are happy, when you are selling something, people are happy that people are buying them. Do you see? But this company, they will not sell to you. And they will tell you that if you want to buy this thing, this website is shut down for sales until Saturday after 6 p.m., which is when the Sabbath is over. I tell you, one day I went to a certain place. I went to a hotel. It was a Friday night, and I went there. When I got there, I parked my car, you know. And I remember that day, I just bought this car. The car was delivered in the afternoon, and I took it to this event at the hotel in the evening, you know. And then the next morning, when I went to get something out of the car, I saw that the whole back of the car was scratched. Yeah, the back of the car was scratched completely. You see, so I got so upset, and I went in there because I saw these Jewish guys who were having a party that Friday evening in the place, you know. So I assumed that it must have been one of them who had scratched my car. So I went in there, and I tried to talk to their leader that I believe that one of them has damaged my car out there, you know. And so I want them to come and look at it. And the guy said, no, it's not one of us. I said, how do you know it's not one of your people? Because you guys have been partying since last night. He said, the way I know it's not one of us is because all of us got here before the time you said you arrived, which is that he said, we are Jews. We don't drive a car after a certain time. Do you understand? So when it's the Sabbath, which begins when the sun sets on Friday, you know, so he said that we all came in here when the sun set on Friday, and we have not touched our cars since that time, you see. And so it couldn't be any of us who scratched your car. And he was right. They would not even start a car. He said, because starting a car involves starting a fire. And we don't make fire on Fridays. I mean, during the Sabbath. You know, we are serious people. So even the elevator, when they get in the elevator, when you go to any hotel or place where that involves Jews, you see that they have a Sabbath elevator. The Sabbath elevator is programmed to stop on every floor because nobody will push the button. Do you understand? So if you're a Jewish person and you are observing the Sabbath, when you enter the elevator, you always choose the Sabbath elevator and you enter that one. And whatever your floor, it will stop on every floor. You just be patient. So you don't have to push the button. You don't have to call the elevator. You don't have to tell it where it's going. Because the people say, God said don't work on the Sabbath, and they will not work, period. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you see, we who are Christians, who should even know God better, do you understand? Because our relationship with God is based, the Bible says, on a better covenant. You get it? We have all been grafted. We have all been made into spiritual Jews through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you understand? But we have a habit of not taking God's word literally. We have a habit of, you know, hearing the word of God and being dismissive about it. And sometimes even thinking that it's because the pastor is after something. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like this, you always have to rationalize away every little chance you get to enter into something supernatural. Just to every chance you get to activate something supernatural in your life, your mind just jumps in the way and kind of rationalizes it away. And so you're always robbed of the things that God has promised and you don't seem to experience them. And it looks as though Christianity doesn't work. But it's actually not the case. Are you following what I'm saying? I tell you. So that guy argued with me. He told me that it can't be any of those people there. They didn't scratch your car. I'm telling you. Because they all came in before 6 o'clock. And he said that we are not leaving here until after 6 p.m. the next day on the Saturday, even when we went to Jerusalem last year, you know, every evening, the place where we were staying, every evening there was food, there was food, there was food. On the Friday evening, zero. Hey, it was not easy for us. We, the non-Jews, who were not observing the Sabbath, it was such a struggle. Then they took the food, that there was no hot food available. All the food available was the food that had been cooked for the previous night. If you want to eat that, you can eat it. But that's it. Nobody's cooking anything for you. Yeah. And they had a bunch of Muslim guys who worked at the hotel. Friday evening is their job time. Yeah. So the Muslims were working. They were the waiters. They were serving from Friday evening throughout Saturday until the Sabbath was over. Do you understand? So it is no wonder that the Lord blesses them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you should not be jealous of them. And you should not call them racist. You should not call them such names, because they have seen a light. You understand? And you see how they pass these things on to their children. You know, when I was lived in New York, I had a chance to visit a Jewish family during one of their, festivals. You should see the festival. Part of it is they sit the family down and then they begin to talk about their history. And then the head of the household will talk to the children and tell them, this is the thing that happened, and this is why we do this. And they will explain it, and the children will also obey it. And it just runs through the family. So as for poverty, they don't know it. Poverty, and Jews don't believe in poverty. They believe that God, look, you see, come back, let me go to verse 12 again. Oh no, verse 2, go to like verse 2 at the beginning of Genesis. He says, the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And then verse 3. He said, sojourn in this land, and I'll be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed. Can you see that? Yeah. Now, Jewish people believe this literally. They believe that God said he will give the land. Huh. Okay. You saw what I saw, right? I almost jumped through the window. Right. He said that, I will be with thee and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So a Jewish person believes that God promised that he was going to bless his father Abraham. And as long as he is a descendant of Abraham, that promise applies to him, and he expects to experience it in today's world. Period. That is it. So he's not walking around with any fantasies or anything. He has a real, genuine expectation of prosperity. And he's not apologetic about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And the Bible says that when you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Do you understand? When you become a Christian, the Bible says you become Abraham's seed. And therefore, you become an heir of that promise. That is in Galatians. Pastor Molina, can you find that verse for me in Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3. iPad is messing up, and the one who made it is not around anymore. Have you found it? Okay. What does it say there? Okay. Here it is, 3:29, that's right. Galatians 3 and verse 29. Okay? It says, and if ye be Christ. Okay? Have you found it? Okay, let's start reading. Let's start reading maybe from verse 25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm a child of God. by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Can you see that? There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. Can you see that? And then verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed. Can you see that? If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. That means whatever God promised to Abraham's seed, do you understand? It's supposed to be for you. Now, can you believe that? I don't think you believe it. Pastor Munene, give us the verse again in Genesis that talked about the promise to Abraham's seed. Give us Genesis chapter 26 again and verse 3 or 4, whatever. Let's just read that verse again. And then we'll come right back to this, so don't lose it. But I want you to see something with me today, because this is going to be a Jewish service after today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, so you have to come to church in your yarmulke and all that, because we are going to be Jews from today. Amen. Now look at it. He said, I will give all these countries and I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father Abraham. And he said, the promise is unto thee and unto thy seed. Can you see that? It's unto thee and unto thy seed. Now who is the seed? And that's what we are discovering in Galatians. So in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, the Bible is saying who the seed is. Are you getting it? Who the seed is. It says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Can you see that? And heirs according to the promise, which means that whatever promise God made to Abraham is a promise that you can also claim as a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Can you accept that? Can you accept that? If you can accept it, raise up your hand. Let me see. Let me see those I'm talking to today. All right. Can you accept that? Okay. So if you can accept that, then the Bible says that you are Abraham's seed. And if you're Abraham's seed, then Abraham's blessings and Abraham's prosperity is also your blessing and your prosperity. Can I have an amen? Amen. It means that no matter what your circumstance is, no matter where you are coming from, no matter what the background is, you can expect to prosper. And you can expect to do well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then you need to discover the principles that made them do well. Hallelujah. Because the prosperity is not just God gave them a set of instructions. If you do this and that and that and that, then you will also experience A, B, C, and D. Are you hearing me? So if you're offering yourself as a candidate for what they inherited, then you must also offer yourself as a candidate for what they obeyed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And once you obey what they obeyed, then you can expect to prosper. Hallelujah. I'm not expecting to be poor by the grace of God. I'm expecting to prosper. Yeah. Because I've been paying my tithe for a long time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I've been paying. And sometimes I'm not even sure. Sometimes I feel that maybe I've missed some little gifts here and there, and some, you know, because sometimes I can get a gift and then, you know, I can give the gift away. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes I'm not really sure that, you know, and just to be safe, I just take an amount that I am positive will at least exceed what I think it should be. Do you understand? Just to cover all bases. Because I have come to find out that it is very highly unprofitable to steal from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I have come to find out that it is very highly unprofitable to steal from God. It is very highly unprofitable to have something that belongs to God among your stuff. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. You know how sometimes you can owe, like you owe someone, or you owe the bank, or you owe someone, and then the person has not collected what it is, but you have it in your hand. So you have the thing in your hand, but you know that your net worth is zero. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, you have something. Someone has, even sometimes you receive a gift and you are not happy. Because you know there's just something waiting just at the back of the house to collect it from you. You get it? So even something that should excite you is not exciting for you. Do you get it? Someone even blesses you with something. Your bill or something. You have a bill of $50 that you haven't paid. They've been calling and calling and calling. Now someone meets you and gives you a gift of $50. You don't even feel like rejoicing or laughing about it. It's not fun because you know that this is as good as gone. It might as well not have come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's the state you enter when you are taking things from God. The thing is with you, but there is a big zero waiting for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And since I discovered that, I've made a promise to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me, but help me not to keep with me anything that belongs to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes you may feel like you're going down. You may feel like it means you will be without. But in the long run, and if you're a Christian, you must learn to look at the broader picture. Do you understand? You must learn to look at the broader picture. Don't, if you take your decisions and make your analysis just based on, you know, small shots and small segments, it's like a movie. You know, all that a movie is a series of pictures and frames joined together. Do you understand? Now, when you join the whole string together, you get a beautiful movie that you enjoy. But if you take one still frame, you see someone moving like that, but it doesn't do anything. This doesn't do anything. It won't even tell you anything. But if you join enough frames, you'll find out that it moves further and further and further, and actually what the person was doing was to lift something. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You get it? So learn not to look at life as, you know, or in small pictures and in small still frames. But learn to join the long picture together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That your life is not just what you're experiencing today. Your life is much more than what your experiences are today. Do you understand? You may not like where you live today. You may not like what you do today. You may not like the way your life is feeling today. But that's just one of the frames. Are you hearing me? It's the rest of the frame is yet to unfold. Are you hearing me? But you need to keep doing the thing that keeps ensuring that the frame will look better as time goes on. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? So I really want to encourage you, all of you must decide to become tithers. Can I have an amen? Amen. This is the thing that brought the blessing upon Abraham and upon his family. And all the people that are heirs of Abraham, all of Abraham's descendants. You know, it is in Israel that you go and hear that most of the names in the Bible are still in use till today. You realize that there are people called, you know, Moshe, and I'm trying to remember some of the names, you know. Yeah, all the Bible names that you think belong to some archaic world, and you feel maybe now it's more modern to call yourself, you know, Shadrach, and even Shadrach is from the Bible, but like Alvin and, you know, Richard and such names. The other day somebody was told to mention the names of the 12 disciples, and he said Peter, James, John, and then he got stuck. Then he started adding Richard, Alvin, and then such names. Hallelujah. But there is a world and there is a place where people still believe the Bible literally, and they live by it, and their lives reflect the promises and blessings that God promised to such people. And I believe that if you will align your life with it, I'm telling you that it will not matter what your circumstance is. God will dig you out of every pit and every unfortunate circumstance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Joseph went to prison. But from prison, even in the prison, when he got to the prison, they were looking for people to look after the prisoners. And they chose him. Because when God's blessing is upon you, it does not matter what the circumstances are. Do you understand? You may feel cheated. Sometimes you may feel not fairly treated by someone. But it does not even matter, because the blessing of God has a way of overturning that. It has a way of neutralizing every negative thing that seems to plague your life and causing your life to look the right side up. But you need to really take hold of the blessings, and you need to take hold of the things that activate the blessings. Are you hearing me? Let me close with this verse, and then we will continue next week. Let me close with the book from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and from verse 10. Have you got Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10? Bring ye all the tithe. This one I'm going to need it in French, please. So bring it, because we all need to understand this. He says, bring, it won't fit. They don't fit at the same time. Okay, all right, let's do the English. And then he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me, you see, prove me now herewith. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I were you, I would take up this challenge. God is saying, prove me, test me, try me. Let's go on a contest. Do you understand? If I were you, if you have any faith at all in God, and you have to have some faith in God even to be here. Do you understand? Yeah, because there are better things to do on a Sunday morning than to get up and dress up and go to a place, you know, to worship a God in whom you don't believe. Do you understand? You might as well find a stone somewhere around your apartment, put it on your dining table, and write God on it and just worship it. It even that will be more profitable than traveling the distance to this place and not believing in God. Do you understand? You have to believe God. Do you understand? And so if you believe in God and God's word, it says, I'm not making this up. He says that, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not, he says, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. If, he said, you just do it and you prove me, test me, and see if I will not pour you out a blessing. You see, life is a series of blessings. Just how many blessings you get. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. You see, it's like a paycheck. You need more than one to make a meaningful life. Is it not true? You need one, then you need another one. Then you need another one, and then you need another one. And you need another one, and you need to keep having them. And the process of continuing to have paychecks is what we call a job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He says that you need to prove me to see if I will not pour you out a blessing. You see, it is how many of these you get to have that actually makes the difference in the life that you live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you will come to find that in life, so many things are a blessing. So many things. There are so many blessings that if you had, would make such a difference. If you had the blessing of this, it would make a difference. If you had a blessing of that, it would make a difference. If you have the blessing of this, it will make a difference. If you had the blessing of that. And so when you see someone who is blessed, or someone whose life seems to be working, it's often that he has this blessing, plus this blessing, plus that blessing, plus that blessing. That is why he looks, or he or she looks so much like they are blessed. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God says, look, I will, he says, I dare you to take up this challenge to see if there will not be a blessing poured out to you, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. God said he will open the windows of heaven. Pastor, then it looks like you can't wait till I start reading the French. But you let me finish working with the English. And then I'm going to come to the French. You get it? He said, you prove me to see if I will not open you the windows of heaven. God said he will open the windows of heaven over your life. Next week, I'm going to talk about what it means for the windows of heaven to be open over your life. But God said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing. I will open the windows of heaven for you. Look at the scripture. He says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. So the windows of heaven don't answer to everybody. Is it not clear? Yeah. It means the windows of heaven are not like the windows in your house, which are open all the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the windows of heaven answer to specific people. So the person who obeyed this is the one who's causing the windows of heaven. So it's a personal experience. It looks like it's something that you're going to experience, and it comes to you in particular because of what you did. Are you hearing me? And he says, open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. Okay, give me the French, Pastor Munene. Give me the French. Let me just drive the point home in French. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Apporter à la maison du trésor. Afin qu'il y ait de la nourriture dans ma maison. That is in my house, isn't it? Yeah, dans ma maison. Right. So what did he say anyway? What did he say about his house? He said what? Bring what? Bring all the treasures into my house. Okay. So that there will be what? So that there will be food dans ma maison. Oui. Okay. What about this one? Mettez-moi de la sorte à l'épreuve. What does that mean? Put me to the test. Is that correct? Yeah? So, mettez-moi de la sorte à l'épreuve. God is saying it even in French, that you must put me to the test. Are you hearing me? Then, what about this part? What does it say? De l'éternel des âmes. Des âmes. Okay. This is what says what? Says the Lord of hosts. Okay. And what it says, et vous verrez si je n'ouvre pas pour vous les écluses. This year, what does it mean? See if I will not open you what? The windows of the heavens. Do you understand? And then what? Si je ne what? Si je ne repens pas, sous vous. La bénédiction. Eh, what? Well, me, I don't know, but I like this word, abundance. I like this one. Yeah. Vous la bénédiction en abondance. Even Michael at the back can recognize this. Michael, do you recognize abundance? Do you like abundance? Yeah. You don't even have to bother. Whatever it said here, forget about it. They understand it. But this one, don't let them take it from you. Something in the Bible said, vous la bénédiction en abondance. And that's all I care about. God said he will benediction you and he will abundance you. Huh? Yeah, he will give you the benediction and then and what? And abundance. You see, and I need you people, don't be religious people who don't believe the things that you are practicing. Do you understand? Why should you wake up in the morning? It takes, you see, when you see someone in a church, don't take it for granted, because it takes a lot to get to church. You have to even start thinking about it from last night. It affects what time you wake up. You go and bath in the morning. It may not even be your habit, but you have to. You go and bath because you want to go to church. So right there, a lot of effort has already gone to get it, because you're blocking your normal cycle. It's not your normal routine, but you are showering at 8 o'clock in the morning. You see, it means something. Then after that, you have to get into a closet, and out of the maze there, you have to dig out something to wear. And then you have to try it, and you try it, and you don't like it, and you put another one, and you don't like it, and you put, and then before, when you finish, you come and put on your makeup and fix the face. Then the hair. Do you see? And then after that, just go downstairs, get your shoes, or eat some breakfast. And, you know, it's a lot to go to church, and it's a lot to go through for something you don't believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if the life as it is all that God intends for you to have, then it's not worth it. It will be a lot easier. I'm telling you, your private God on your dining table may offer you more. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if you are willing to go through all that because you have enough faith, then take it all the way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you have believed some of it, then believe all of it. Do you understand? Don't believe too little to get anything out of it. But if you've believed any of it at all, then believe all of it. Do you understand? If you believe that he can save you from your sins, then you better believe that he can bless you for this life also. If you can believe that he can save you from your sins, you better believe he can heal your body also. If you believe he can cleanse you from your sins, you better believe that it is his will for you to prosper and do well. And he said he is going to open the windows of heaven. Do you understand? And he's going to pour you down la benedicción en abundance. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will set yourselves up for it. I want you to come next week, because I'm going to go into this thing in a real big way. Hallelujah. And I want you to believe in blessing and believe it and believe it and believe it. Hallelujah. That God may lift us all above the depression and all the unhappiness and all the struggles that we go through. God wants to bless us indeed, and I believe he will. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. The book is available at the back, and I want everybody to get a copy. If you don't have a copy, some of you have bought some already, but those of you who do not have a copy, I want you to have it. If you can't afford it, come and see me. I will give you one as a gift. Do you understand? But I so desperately want all of you to get one. Hallelujah. Amen. So get one. If you can afford it, buy it to help pay for the ones who get it for free. So it's a very important book. How you can be blessed. How you can be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Say, I am a blessed person. Say, I'm a candidate for blessing. I am in Christ. And I am Abraham's seed. I am an heir of the promise. And therefore, blessing is my portion. Hallelujah. God wants you to have the blessing, and it will come upon you if you believe it. Just bow your heads with me, everybody, today, and let's pray. Just bow your heads and let's pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the blessing of hearing the word of God. We are praying, O God, that we will not be hearers of the word only, but doers as well. We don't want to be hypocrites, Lord, who believe the word in some portions, but do not believe the word in other portions. We do not want to be hypocrites who have a limited experience of your word because of how much of it we don't believe. I pray in Jesus' name that you will bless your people. I pray that you will open our eyes, open our hearts to the truth of your word in the name of Jesus. I pray for all the brothers and all the sisters today. You know everyone, and you know every circumstance out of which they are coming. Lord, I believe it is not your will for your people to struggle and to continue in deep poverty and in deep struggles, struggles with their health, struggles with their relationships, to be living in constant unhappiness. I pray in the name of Jesus that the windows of heaven will be opened over their lives. I pray, Lord, that you will open the windows of heaven as they seek to obey the word. Cause them to experience the truth and the fullness of what you have promised to people who obey and to put the word to test. I pray in the name of Jesus. We put you to test today. You said if we will bring the offerings and the tithes to your storehouse, we could prove you. We could prove you. We could test you to see if you will not open the windows of heaven to us individually. Father, you know what it means to each one of us. I pray that you will grant it. As we seek to obey you, may we experience the truth of your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. I want everybody to say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to live for you. Help me to believe the scriptures. Help me to live the scriptures. Help me to believe your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, some time ago, a friend of mine bought a car. This friend of mine used to drive a very old car, and nothing really worked in it, except for just the mechanics of the car moving forward. You get it? I actually remember one day I was with him in the car when he was driving. He came to a stop like that. When he stopped, you know, then he stopped abruptly. So he stopped and he went forward like that. When he leaned backwards, the back of the seat was not there. So he leaned forward like that. And when he came back, he was just going all the way. Because it was such an old car. But he eventually got a new car. It wasn't a new car, but it was a much better car than what he had before. And I remember seeing him, the weather was kind of, it was raining and, you know, the windshield had gotten all frosty. And then he got out and took his handkerchief and he began to wipe it, you know. Then I told him, you don't need to do that. There's a button here in the car that you just turn on and it takes this away. He said, wow, is that possible? I said, yeah. So I showed him the button and when he turned it on, it quickly let everything go away. Before, he was using the back of his hands to just wipe the thing because he was used to having this old car that with which he had formed all his old habits. Do you understand? But I realized that even though he had a new car, he was not experiencing all the things Do you understand? What he needed was a teacher like me to walk him through the different features of the car. That he can do this, that he can do this, that he can do this, that he can do this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, that's the role that God has given me to play in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That if you will listen to the word of God that we preach in this church and do the things as we are preaching and teaching them, you're going to experience a much better life than what you're living now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, my friend had bought the car. He had paid for it, but he didn't know it included the windshield defroster. Do you understand? He thought he still had to get out and wipe the windshield, you know, and then use the back of his hands just to try to see. I believe that God has much more in salvation for you than just the salvation of your soul. Are you hearing me? It's not just for you to go to heaven. But while you're on earth, God intends for you to live a full and blessed life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I see it coming upon you as you believe in his word. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's receive our offering and our tithes. And I want to just pray.